very much look forward to all these conversations, as we do with Elliot Friedman, who I believe has arrived safely in Denver. Hello, Frege.
No, I'm not. I'm leaving it. My flight's later this afternoon.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were going this morning.
No, no, no. I just hope I don't have the Ryan Whitney experience, put it that way.
Oh, boy, the enemy of Pearson, Ryan Whitney. I hope we don't see videos on YouTube this afternoon of an angry Elliot Friedman.
I think it's more like right now Pearson is the enemy of humanity. Never mind, Whitney is the bad guy here.
There's a lot of angry people out there at the airport. Make no mistake about it. Before we get to Rangers.
I have to say, you have a good show coming up. You've got two good guests, McElhinney and Shrimp. Sorry about the third one.
DA's coming on top of the hour, but you know what? I don't believe in leading with the right Bauer, so we're leading with the nine of hearts here. We're leading low in euchre by starting with you. What are your main takeaways from Saturday? I want to get to the cup final and all that in a couple of seconds, but just as a wide brush thought, what do you take away from Saturday night?
Every time there's a game that's 1-1 in the third period and Tampa's playing, I think they're going to win.
They're going to win it.
They're going to find a way. They're going to beat you somehow because they're patient. They know what they have to do, and they've got the experience. 1-1, third period, game five, they win. 1-1, third period, game six, they win. Mm-hmm. They just find ways to win. It's that simple. And this one's going to be interesting. I picked Colorado at the beginning of the season. I stick with the team. I have a rule. If I pick someone at the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the playoffs, as long as they're alive, I still go with them. And Colorado was my pick, so they're still alive, so I go with them. I think it's going to be a fantastic series. I think Point shows up early. I think Kadri shows up. You know, Bednar said yesterday he's not ruling him out for game one. You know, knowing how secretive people are about injuries, I'm going to guess, and I stress this is a guess, Kadri shows up somewhere early to mid-series, and then we see where we go. We've only got 1 2-day break, so health is going to be a big factor here. Somebody gets hurt in the middle, it's a big problem. Tampa's got the advantage in goal. I just love the Avalanche. I think if there's a team that can fight through the muck and get to where it wants to go against Tampa, I think Colorado is that team.
To me, there's one thing that I can't get out of my head, and that is something you mentioned that a player told you about Tampa. Late in a game or in overtime, when other teams are concerned with just not making a mistake, they have the confidence to make plays. To me, that sums up. Now, it's easier when you have the goaltender. I get it. But to me, that sums up Tampa in a nice little tidy little and put a nice little tidy bow around it. That to me is a Tampa Bay Lightning. Everybody else playing not to make a mistake, they have the confidence to make plays.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. I think it's such a good way to say it. Like sometimes you need like a player to say the things that you mean to say. But even though I was once an English major, I can't put the sentence together to make it sound right. And I really appreciated this player sending that note because it's a perfect way to describe it. And that's what experience teaches you. And, you know, one of the things I remember was in my second Stanley Cup final for Hockey Night was Edmonton, Carolina. Mm. And I remember when Carolina went on the road into Edmonton, one of the things that Peter Laviolette talked about, and he told me the story, was he told his players, we're on the road here, we're not playing at home, and this is a crazy building and they all want to kill us, but you have to make the same plays that you make at home. Like, don't change who you are because you're on the road, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what he said. He said that he told his guys, if you're going to make that play at home, make it here. And they won a couple games on the road in that series. And he felt that it's important to have that confidence. And I think what Tampa has is they have great players, as you mentioned, the goalie, mm-hmm. but they have great players who are confident in their ability to do the right things. And that's an extremely difficult combination to beat. And they've proven it over and over again. They get down, they get their tied game late or they're down late, and they find a way, always.
But here's what makes this year's edition of the Stanley Cup Final so compelling. And I know we're all in love with the Cinderella story, and it's a lot of fun. The Cinderella story generally never happens and never works. Teams can get to a certain point, and then, you know, talent and skill and whatever experience takes over, and the story is over. There's no Cinderella story here in the final. These are two powerhouses. These are two heavyweight fighters, each with a title, and they're going to unify the belts here. Like, this is Colorado and this is Tampa. There's no, hey, plucky Montreal Canadiens got through it. Wow, look how they beat the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, there's none of that. There's not even, you know, Dallas in the boat. There's none of that with this one. These are two legit heavyweights in the end. And that's what makes this one so exciting, I think, to a lot of people. And you try to break it down and, you know, Hedman, Makar, and, you know, points coming back, and, you know, Kucherov versus, you know, MacKinnon, these have, but, you know, the goaltending angle as well. These are two elite level teams that are going to start destroying each other on Wednesday. That is super compelling for each.
So basically what you're saying is that this is circa 1987, Michael Spinks versus James Bone Crusher Smith to unify the WBA and WBC titles?
I was thinking this is going to be, and I hope it's not quick, but my favorite boxing match of all time was Hagler and Hearns, a three-rounder from Vegas,
oh,
which is three rounds of absolute hell. It is the best three rounds of boxing that I saw when I watched, and still to this day, that is the best three rounds of boxing I ever saw. I was a big fan of all the... Listen, Duran and Leonard, Hagler, Hearns, loved all of them, loved how they mixed, loved the different styles. But that fight is what I'm looking at here. This is Hagler, Hearns. They're both coming out swinging.
Yeah, I loved Hagler.
I know. He's your guy.
I still think he got robbed in the decision by Sugar Ray Leonard. I still do it.
Oh, in 86? You know,
that fight's, yeah. That fight's 40 years old, and I'm still mad about it. But I hope it is. You know, you and I disagree. You like Tampa.
I like Tampa.
Colorado. You know, I think it's gonna. It should be a phenomenal series. It's, you know, on paper, it is the matchup we all want to see, and it's the best possible matchup. And I just hope it delivers. And you know, I think. You know, Tampa's getting a little bit of rest again. Colorado's got a lot of rest. I always think about the Denver and how high it is and the altitude and what it does to people. But two really great, smart teams. There's a lot to like here, and I'm with you. I hope it lives up to, you know, what we've got.
This should be a great one. I want to get to some news and notes around the NHL. I want to focus on Florida here in a couple of moments. But
sure.
How much, like, I'm always curious, what's the one decision facing the Rangers that's going to affect every other decision for that roster? Is there one that's obvious to you, like one that starts the dominoes falling?
I wouldn't say there's one that starts the dominoes falling. I think it's how they prioritize a lot of their upcoming extensions, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got Fox done. They've got Trouba done. They've got Zibanejad done. They know where Panarin is. You know, Miller is going to be an interesting one. Hedl is going to be an interesting one. Lafreniere really took a big jump this year. That's going to be an interesting one. And I think – I don't know where this is going to go until Drury and Gallant talk at the end of the year. But all of a sudden, you know, the decision to scratch Kako for game six,
yeah.
It's now got a lot of people wondering, what's the plan for this guy here? You know, do the Rangers still believe in him? How does he feel about it? You know, you could look at a lot of their immediate decisions. Are they going to try to re-sign Kopp? Are they going to try to keep anybody like Vetrano or anything like that? But to me, I look a year or two down the road and look at Hedl, Lafreniere, and Miller and say, what do they believe in these particular cases? Because those are probably the ones that eat up most of your money in term. So that, to me, is kind of how they prioritize things. But in the short term, you know, Kako and his position on the roster, and do teams – because I have no doubt teams are going to be asking the Rangers, okay – after that game, what's your plan here? How do you feel about them? Where are we going with this? And I think that's going to be an interesting one to watch.
How many times have people texted you with the term offer sheet?
At least three times. But, you know, I don't know if we'll actually get an offer sheet, but, you know, people love offer sheets. We like talking about them, even if they don't really exist that much.
I'm trying to think if there's a team out in the NHL that likes offer sheeting Finnish forwards. Nothing's coming to mind right away, Elliot. I'm not sure. Oh, wait a minute. There is one in Raleigh. I'm just I'm just making this one up. Kopp's a free agent. Strome's a free agent.
No, I think I heard you say you think the Hurricanes are going to offer sheet Kopp. I distinctly heard that.
They like offer sheeting Finns. What can I say? It's Sebastian Aho, whether it's Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Like, that's Carolina. Let me ask you about Andrew Kopp. Let me ask you about Ryan Strome, and perhaps in a lower key, let me ask you about Frank Vatrano as well. $13 million in cap space right now, according to Cap Friendly for the New York Rangers. And a lot of players to sign. Is there a home for Kopp, Strome, and Vatrano still with the Rangers?
Well, they've been trying on Strome for a while now, and obviously we aren't there yet. I just think it's going to be really hard. I do. I mean, Kopp, like Strome and Kopp, Kopp is a versatile guy. You've talked about you think he's got a bigger market there. And, you know, Strome really likes being a Ranger. I do know that. He loves being there. He was very happy he wasn't traded before this year. But he's a center. And yep. He's shown that he can be a second-line center in this league. And those are really hard to find. I just think that, you know, I just don't know if with the other extensions that they're going to have to do down the road, are they going to have the ability to get those guys done?
Yeah, I'm curious about the market with Kopp, and they make it in the conference finals. So Winnipeg gets a first round pick, so that's great for the Jets and a nice little bit of business there by Kevin Cheveldayoff. And as much as we want to do the let's marry everybody from Michigan back to the Detroit Red Wings, I think a lot of us have wondered about players going to Detroit. I know Kopp's name is up there, but listen, you have someone like Andrew Kopp, and I think he's in like the No Hyman range. As far as contract goes, so like in the 5.5, I think that's where he's got himself at this point. You let me know whether you agree or disagree on that one. But he's put himself in a really nice position here because we talk so much about players that show up at playoff time and guys that you win with. And I know I sound like his agent here, but he's one of those guys, isn't he, Freach? Like, he's a good regular season player. I love that he bet on himself with the Jets.
I think there'll be a lot of interest in him. I do. Is he's versatile. He can play a lot of different roles. Yeah. He can score. He can defend. He can play in your top six. He can play in your top nine. You know, wherever you want to put him. I agree with you. Players like that have a role. And I suspect he was pretty banged up, too.
I would imagine. Vitali Kravtsov. This might have been a fly under the radar kind of thing yesterday. Vitali Kravtsov signs with the team, former first round draft pick. We all know about what happened. Didn't want to go to the American Hockey League last year. Went back home. He signs a 1 year, one way deal, $875,000. You mentioned the cap crunch that the Rangers are looking at right now, and the contracts that are on the horizon. If this works, like if Kravtsov can play at the NHL level consistently, to the delight of Gerard Gallant, this helps them tremendously, Elliot, if Kravtsov can be a contributing player.
Look, he's an 875K player who was a first-round pick. You know, you're going to give him a chance. The key here is, as I understand it, is that he did call his agent and say, I want to go back to New York. Mm-hmm. So anytime you've got a guy who's 875, who's a former first-round pick, you know if you put him on waivers, you're going to lose him. You're going to give him a shot. The kid's going to get every shot next year to show that he can play. And we'll see. It doesn't sound like, some people say that they sign him to move him. I don't get that impression. Mm-hmm. I could always be wrong. But the bottom line is if they wanted to trade him, they could have done it this year. They didn't find a trade that was acceptable to them. So are we suddenly going to find one in the off season, or is he just going to go and show up and play and we'll see where they go? I expect this is going to be B. Now, we should just mention that Gerard Gallant has said, had just spoke, and he said that scratching Kako was about trying to win a hockey game, said he likes Kako. I'm reading Dan Rosen's tweet here.
Yep.
Feels he's going to be a big part of next season for the Rangers. He'd be disappointed if Kako and Lafreniere aren't top six. So there you go.
Okay, we'll see where that takes everybody. Florida Panthers, we've wondered a lot about their coaching situation and what's next, and will it get cemented? Will it get blown up? What do you hear? What do you know?
So I have heard for a while now that it was likely Brunette coming back with different assistant coaches. And I think I've mentioned that a couple times, or at least there was a conversation about assistant coaches. We still don't have clarity on this. And it's weird. Now, we know that Al Samuelson is out. Mm-hmm. I guess Kevin Weeks reported yesterday that Derek McKenzie is out, and I believe that's going to be true if it's not official yet. Tuomo Ruutu is the other assistant. He's going to be back. But I think it's going to be like, normally what kind of happens is, you know, the GM gets one assistant coach and the coach gets another assistant coach. And the one in Florida was also like, basically it was Ruutu, I think, is Zito's guy. Derek McKenzie and Brunette are really tight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Al Samuelson was Joel Quenneville's guy. So it was kind of all mixed up, right? And now I think what it sounds like what they're talking about here is who gets control of the assistant coaches and what's that all going to mean. Like, a name I'm hearing right now is Mike Eaves. And Mike Eaves and Bill Zito have a history. And Patrick Eaves, Mike's son, the former player, is, I believe, on the Panthers scouting staff. So I think there's a battle being fought here over, you know, who gets kind of control of the assistants. But, well, you know, Brunette has
a... If it's Eaves, then it's Zito.
That's right. So I think there's like a bit of a struggle here to see how this is all going to work. You know, Brunette, like, I just wonder if he has a contract for next year as an assistant, but not as a head. I wonder if, like, someone's going to call Florida and say, can we talk to Brunette, and what the answer is going to be. Because as far as I know, they haven't, like, they're not, nobody there's talking.
Yeah.
It's the cone of silence. So what I'm wondering here is, are they committed to bringing Brunette back? Because, like, we don't have clarity on this yet.
I mean, it does.
But Mike Eaves is the name. Someone called me this morning and said, watch that name.
I mean, common wisdom, you'd look at it and you'd say, hang on a second here. This guy's a finalist for the Jack Adams.
Yes. Yes. And he took over in an extremely difficult situation.
And he took the Florida Panthers to heights that we've never seen before. Like, you may just look at this and say, well, I don't understand this conversation. I don't understand why. I know they went out in four against the Tampa Bay Lightning, but we've seen what Tampa can do to teams. I understand that it's your state rival. I know that one stings, and how Florida went out, I know, was certainly psychologically difficult. But guys, Jack Adams, I mean, it's happened before, but he's Jack Adams' finalist here. I think a lot of people look at this and say, I don't get it. This doesn't make sense. But to your point, he came in on an interim capacity, and his contract, to your further point, is his contract is for an assistant coach position next season, not a head coach position. So for everyone listening saying, well, we don't understand what's happening here, that's the reason why. We don't have confirmation that Andrew Brunette is back as a head coach, because the contract that he has is for his previous position as assistant coach. That's where we're at.
I just wonder if someone's going to call and say, could we talk to Brunette?
Do we get, do you think, any clarity on any coaching decisions this week, or is it as clear as mud?
Yeah, I think the picture, like, people told me there was some activity on the weekend, that people are starting to talk to each other a little bit more. People are starting to narrow it down a bit. I think we get at least some clarity on some of these things this week. Yes. It sounds like we're getting into second interviews in some of these places, Philly, and, you know, a couple more of them. I do think we get, I think Boston, unless Boston, you know, just picks a guy like Jay Leach and says, you're our guy. I think Boston's a little bit behind in their process compared to other teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see some of these teams, Vegas, Dallas, Philly, depending on what Trott says. And I think we might get some clarity into him this week. I could see some of these getting closer, coming to an end. Yes, I do.
You talked about Duncan Keith and Mike Smith on Saturday, and the July 1st, I don't want to call it hard target, soft target, need to know by target. But Ken Holland needs to know what's happening with these two as he as he plans his team in the offseason. It sounds very much to me like maybe as early as by the end of this week, we have clarity on what's happening with Edmonton. Do you believe the same thing?
I do. I think there's meetings this week in Edmonton to kind of figure things out. You know, like I said, Smith and Keith, and, you know, Smith is definitely considering it. I get mixed messages on Keith. I'm not as sure that he's considering it. But, you know, they just said to him, look, if there's any reason for us to know here, we got to know by July 1st. But I think the Oilers are having meetings this week to kind of go over the future and see how where this is all going to go. So going to be interesting.
It will be.
You know, I got to tell you, like I spoke to someone there yesterday that we talked about on the podcast about just how the players left with the best feeling they've ever left with. You know, they all hated the way they went out and the way it ended, but the ride there, it's everything you hope for, to win a few playoff rounds and taste some success. And I think you have to, like, that's the same way I feel about Florida. I think you have to be very careful about mucking it up. And I think the Oilers and the Panthers have to be careful about how they tread.
Well, here's the difference, though. The Oilers beat their provincial rival. The Panthers lost to their state rival. I wonder how much that complicates things. Like, I wonder about, like, with Edmonton, you always wonder how wild it gets in the off season if there's significant disappointment, because we've seen it before. I'm not so sure that I get that sense. Well, we'll see what happens with Keith and Smith, but I don't know necessarily think that I get that sense about it being wild in the off season.
For Edmonton, you mean?
For Edmonton, yeah.
Yeah.
Like if they're walking away from it feeling good about themselves, Friege. Like, look, Woodcroft is, I would assume, Jay Woodcroft and Dave Manson are coming back.
Yeah, they're meeting this week, I think.
I think the wild card in all of it is, what's the position that Paul Coffey has?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I heard he's getting a title of some role there. And, you know, we'll see. I think we could know this week. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years, Jeff, and this is just a comment on life in general. Sometimes when something is successful, too many people want to take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this in so many things in life. Like, people are like, well, you know, I made this decision, or I was responsible for this decision, or I did this, or this person did that. I've always found that a rising tide floats all boats. If an organization does well, everybody benefits. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always wary about situations where an organization does well and maybe the end isn't as good as you wanted. But when you look at the big picture, it was good. And people are fighting over that. And we need to make change. We need to make these changes to either consolidate power or make sure that certain people get known for the decisions that they make. That's bad. That never ends well.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, ever.
We shall see what happens with Edmonton. Okay, listen, safe travels to Denver. This should be a great one. Colorado facing off against Tampa. We don't get there until Wednesday, so lots of time to hype this one up. We'll drill down more tomorrow on some of the players and storylines, et cetera. But get to Denver safe, and we'll catch up tomorrow.
I hear Bob Cole yelling, how do you know it's going to be great?
I also hear Elliot yelling, don't tell me what to do.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. You will, even though the
all right, Merrick,
travel is out of your hands. All right, bud, we'll talk soon, pal.
Good baseball weekend for you.
It was so nice, man. It's my 10-year-old was in a tournament in London, which is just a great spot to host baseball. In tough against the North York team. Full props to Mike Tilson, who I've known for 25 years. A great hockey player, good baseball coach, good hockey coach as well. And it was fun. The kids had a great time.
All right,
2-2 on the
as
weekend.
I say
had
goodbye,
fun.
As a guy who grew up in North York, I know we're all a bunch of cheaters, so that's probably happened. And number two, everybody go see Top Gun Maverick. I took my son to it yesterday.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. Take your kids.
All right, look forward to that one. Thanks, Friege. Be well. Elliot Friedman from Hockey Net in Canada and 32 Thoughts.